There you go. Praise the Lord. Amen. God been good to you. Say praise the Lord. Amen. So good to be back with you guys again. Somebody come in a while ago, said it seemed like it's been a long while since you've been here. And we've been busy working for the kingdom, and we've had souls saved. Showed Brother Scotty, I just came back from a couple of weeks up in the Chicago and revival up there. I was up there 16 nights and preached 21 times. So we stayed on the move and on the go, and God bless. Had folks saved, healed, delivered, set free. And the saints there are just as hungry as you guys are here. Amen. We're blessed to be down in this Bible Belt, and I appreciate that so much. But I told them one thing I did not appreciate about Chicago was the traffic. And if anybody is needing patience, go to Chicago and drive from one side to the other at 5 p.m. You will learn patience. I promise you that, okay? But that's the way it goes. Turn with me, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. King James Version. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and with frankincense, and with all the powders of the merchant? Chapter 8. We are looking at verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity once again to stand before your children, but asking you now in the name of the Lord Jesus to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that those looking would see your Son, that he being high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. Father, confirm your word with signs and wonders. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon the beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, who is this coming up from the wilderness? Now, if you'll look at the wording of chapter 3, you will find that it says coming up out of. When you read the wording here, it has coming from. Now, how many of you know there's a difference than coming up out of this building and leaving from this building? Can you say amen? In a few minutes, we will get up and we will leave out of this building and out there. But then to come from the building, you've got to go home and get ready to come back next go around. Amen? And so there's a difference here. And he has said, he's asking a question. Said, who is this? Sister Teresa was teaching a while ago, and Brother Scotty and I were talking a little bit about it earlier. How that right now the church, we're coming up into something that God has for us and has promised for us, and we got to get ready and move on into what God has. Now, the history of this is quite interesting because they had been in Canaan, and as a result of it, they had moved down to Egypt. God had directed them down to Egypt. Under Joseph, they had prospered, and they were allowed to enjoy the fruit of the works of their hands in Egypt. In other words, their flocks and things begin to multiply. The fruit of their body, their children, they begin to multiply. And they were very content in the land of Goshen. But now all of a sudden, God has realized, and how many of you know, that there are times when God allows you to enjoy the fruit of your labors. Amen? And that's as it should be. God blesses us in that area. But if you're not careful, you could get so caught up. And once again, Scotty was talking about it. And Sister Teresa, you can get so caught up in the fruit of your labors that all you want to do is labor and get more fruit. Amen. And so it becomes a bondage to you if you're not careful. But what we don't realize is that God wants us to enjoy this world. and the things he blesses us with it, but this is not our destiny. Can you say amen? This is not our destiny. It is not his perfect plan for our life. So now the time has come, and on God's timetable, the time has come that he is bringing them out of there. And the way he begins it is that the things and the fruit of their bondage become so noticeable to everybody else till it becomes a bondage unto you. How many of you know that Solomon, when he died, his son took the throne and they came to him and said, we will serve you if you will lessen the servitude of what we've been giving your father Solomon to build the temple, okay? So it was a money thing, amen. Now, as a result of it, he told them that they would double what Solomon was doing, and they rebelled from under him. And as a result of it, he lost the kingdom over it, amen. Now, as a result of this, as you look at it, God allows us to enjoy the fruit of our labor, but how many of you know there are those that will take advantage of your fruits of the labor and take and make it become a bondage to where you get where that's all you got to do, okay? All I got to do is, once again, I thought they were going to do my whole sermon here between the two of them, but they talked about having to work on Sunday because I got so many cars I got to take care of. I got so many kids I got to do that thing. I understand that principle, but I also understand the principle of raising them up in the way that's right, and when they're old, they'll not turn from it. Can you say amen? And so I remember some years ago, I was over in the National Forest over near Talladega in revival. One morning about 8 o'clock, or about daylight actually, I was out walking in the churchyard praying, talking to the Lord, and they had a old cemetery across the road, just right across the road from me. And I walked over there and was looking at the different headstones, and some of them was 100 years old laying there that had been there. And they were different sized graves. They were some short ones, some big ones. So I would walk over to different ones and check out the date on it. And some of those little graves had only been lived like a month or 2 months or a year, because they were little fellas that had went on to glory in their destination. And I was standing there, and began to think of how important Sunday coming up is, and how that in our day and time, just about all the activities of children are placed on a church night or a church day, amen. And so as I look at it, I begin to wonder, I wonder if God has a t-ball team up in heaven that when all these little fellas get up there don't know how to play t-ball, he's going to take the time to teach them how to play t-ball in heaven, okay? Now, it's so important to folks down here, they got to lay out a church to take them. They got to lay out a church to go do it. Then look to me like if it's that important, really, that God would have something rigged up there to teach them how to play. Now, does that make sense? I know it don't, but that's my thinking. I get weird with my thinking sometimes. Now, here we find at this particular point, he has got to bring them out of what they are and where they are in order to get them to where he is taking them. Their destiny is the Canaan's land. Their destiny is the promised land. That's God's destiny for each and every one of us, that we live from in the Canaan's land. We live off of the promises of God and the blessings of God, understanding how they work. Now, as a result of this, he says, here is a people that is going into the Canaan's land. We know how that God delivered them out of Egypt, how he brought them forth from miracle to miracle, and he has brought them into the wilderness. And everybody is singing this song of Canaan's land. For 400 years, they had been in bondage down there, and now they're on their way, and everybody is looking for the paradise. Is that not what everybody's looking for today? Amen. I mean, the different ideas of paradise. With us, it's our relationship and being with our Savior in heaven, amen? But other people, it's a yacht sailing on the seas of the world all around, and it's different things. And I had a guy I worked for one time, and he told me, he got up, and he was addressing some of my salespeople, and he was the owner of the company we were working up, and he told us, which I had about 7 or 8 preachers working under me at that time, and he told us, he said, heaven and hell is here on earth. He said, if you got money, it's heaven. If you ain't, it's hell. Amen. And that's the last day I ever worked for him. I said, I am not working for a man that believes that money is heaven or hell. And telling other people that. Amen. I understand the agonies. I understand the pain. But now all of a sudden, God has got a people that they've come up and everybody is excited about going out to the Canaan's land. God has worked miracles for them. And Moses has got them ready, and Joshua and them have got them staged, and they're marching towards the Canaan's land. But all of a sudden, as they get across the Red Sea, and God works his miracle there, he gets them into the wilderness, and all of a sudden, things begin to sink in on them, that this is not going to be a pleasant journey. Can you say amen? Sister Teresa touched on it a while ago. Between you and the promises of God is a wilderness. And you will have to go through that wilderness to get to where God wants you to get, because things happen in the wilderness like never, that can't happen anywhere else. The first thing I want you to understand is that most of us, and about everybody I know, wears a disguise. Amen. I've noticed that I've come down here several times, and my brother here with a white T-shirt, he's subject to wearing those white T-shirts. That's what he wanted us to see this morning. Can you say amen? That's all fine and dandy. Amen. You look at me and what you see is what I want you to see this morning. And the way I act is the way I want you to see me acting this morning. But how many of you know if you had caught me yesterday, you would have saw my old sloppy tennis shoes, my old baggy pants, and everything else running around the house working and doing first one thing and another one. Now, that's the real me. I remember when we first went to our home church, and we were there for about a year. The only time they ever saw me, I worked at a sport coat and a tie, and the only time they ever saw me was when I was in a tie. We had a work day out there, and I'm down in a ditch, stomping up and down in blue jeans and no shirt, packing in around waterline, and they up there taking pictures of me because they'd never seen me that way. Brother Dave, is that you? Yeah, that's me. Can you say amen? But now you're looking at disguise. If we're not careful, we put disguises on ourselves when we come to church. Amen. We want to put a smile on our face, and I believe in walking by faith. I believe in confession. But I put a smile on our face when inside we're brokenhearted. How many people today you know of that's walking around that's brokenhearted? I walked into church Tuesday night and preaching for the folks up there, and they just lost their son of 21 years old in a motorcycle accident. And I asked her, I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. I'm doing." Amen. Because it was their only son, only child. Now, as a result of it, brokenhearted, yes. But to get to the promises of God, there's things we have to go through. The disguise has to be ripped off of us to show us what we really are. Amen? And the time when you think that you got to know enough about God, that you've been in the places with God, brother, you realize, I don't know anything. I need to shape up and move on with what God's got for my life till I get to my destiny in God. Amen. Now, as a result of it, a disguise is something that causes the appearance to be evil, not be evil, but be different and be something else. Amen. And we've all heard lately so much in the church teaching about different one, that the homeless, don't judge them by their clothing, things of this nature, and don't go by the way somebody is and that sort of thing. But the real them inside is what we're looking for. But God looks at us and he knows what's on the inside of us, but many times we don't know what's inside of it. Peter had a problem. Amen. He had a problem. He was weak. He was there. But God looked at him and said, "Inside of you is a rock. And when that time comes, I'll establish it and change you. And when you are converted, then move into your destiny in God in the promised land and be what I want you to be." Can you say amen? The church is struggling right now. Yes, we're coming up. Yes, we're moving forward, but it's struggling in reaching back and getting its identity. It wants to go back and pick up the old identity of how things were, and there's nothing wrong with that. But friend, my identity is not in the past, it's in the future. Now, Sister Teresa asked me a while ago, "How long you been evangelizing?" 43 years, full time, amen. I'm noted as an evangelist, amen. I had a friend of mine one time, he come up to me and was trying to get to be an evangelist, but he was a singer, so he'd sing like a mockingbird. God moved every time he sung. And he said, "When people call me, all they want me to come and sing for them. So they call you, they want you to come run a revival for them." He said, "How come?"
I said, because that's the way you're known, brother. I said, you can sing, you bless the people, and you're known by that, and that's why they call you over. I said, they never call me to sing. Hello? I said, I mean, I could get upset because they never call me. They never call. Scott, you ain't never called me down here to sing. Hello? Can you say amen? I said, it's how you're known. But now the disguise upon you of what you are is stopping you from your destiny. Well, a little bit later on, he come by and he told me, he said, I want you to get me a week's revival in the 10 biggest churches you go to as a ministry. And I said, I won't do that. He said, why not? I said, because in this kingdom, you got to pay your dues. He said, well, look, said, I'm full-time. And said, I hadn't had a meeting in 6 weeks. My bills is piling up and everything. And I looked over at him. I said, look, I said, I can name you 5 churches within a 30-mile radius of the where you live that would be more than thrilled to have you come, a ministry of your caliber in there. The guy could preach it good, too. Amen. And so he said, who? I said, you know that shopping center coming down such and such a highway up there, that little group back in there? He said, yeah, I know him, but I don't want to go there. Amen. I said, well, starve to death. Well, say amen, somebody. I mean, you got on a disguise, buddy. And when the disguise come off, you find out, and here a man is that's wanting the high road without working his way up from the low road. Can you say amen? It don't work that way in here. To get to the promises of God, you've got to go through the wilderness every time. And it takes the disguise off of you and shows you what you really are. We had a Christmas play at our home church years back. Had a little fella in there about that high. And have you ever seen one that trouble just walked around with? I mean, that little fella could get in more trouble than anybody else. I mean, he didn't even have to try. It just happened to him, amen? And so everybody knew it. And so at Christmas time, they had him in the Christmas play, and they had him decked out as an angel, amen? And so he come walking down the aisle. The church was full. He come walking down the aisle, and boy, he had on little wings and everything. I mean, he did. He looked sharp, I mean, you know? And different folks begin to comment, visitors, oh, he looks like a little angel. Isn't that the sweetest thing you ever seen in your life? Oh, he's a little angel. About that time, there's a voice in the back hollered, y'all don't know him like I know him. And it was his mother. Amen. So we're looking at the disguise, but when it come off, woo, she knew him. Can you say amen? God knows us, church, and he wants us to know ourselves. Amen. He wants you to be competent in what you can do for him and with him as a result of it. And with his leadership, all things are possible unto us. As the disguise has just got to be ripped off to let us believe it in the name of Jesus. The statement's already been made this morning. That here, ministries, I think Sister Teresa made it, that ministries were being developed within you and a different one, getting ready for the move of God to come. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. Amen? But you got to first realize that you're capable of it. And the way he does that, it pulled the disguise off of you, and I look and I say, I am not the man of God I want to be. I am not the man of God they think I am. God, make me what you would have me to be and develop my life to fit your plan in the name of Jesus.
Anybody ever prayed for patience more than once? I prayed one time, said then I'd never pray again. That's years ago. I've never prayed for patience. I figure God knows I need it and he'll give it to me whether I pray for it or not, and I sure ain't asking for it. So let me tell you, man, you get a whole lot of wilderness experiences when you're praying for patience. I see some head bobbling now, okay? Now, it's a slave that's been liberated but has no destiny except the promised land. Okay? Egypt has fallen by the wayside. It no longer has a hold on them. Egypt can no longer tell them what they're going to do by stamping out the bricks and the clay. And now they're free for their destiny. The problem
You've got a people that for 400 years have stamped out clay and stamped out brick and worked the works of Egypt that don't know how to act in the promised land. Isn't that what we've talked about this morning? The Sunday school lesson? Brother Scotty's admonition and encouragement a while ago? Isn't that what we're learning how to walk and live? How many of you can look back when you first got saved? Now, Sister Teresa, I'm telling you, girl, I thought you were going to do my whole sermon. But she mentioned the fact of little people, okay? When you're young as a Christian, people look over the mistakes you made spiritually, and they give you leeway on it, okay? But, son, when you've been in this thing 30 years and won't do what God wants you to do, that's hard for me to look over. Hello? I mean, I'm rather amazed at our government now. You know, everybody from over yonder is coming over here. I think I'll come to Scotty's house tomorrow and move in up there. I'm not giving you a say about it. I'm just going to move in, get me a room, take up residence, let you pay my light bill, my valve bill, to feed me, take care of me, clothe me. Hello? You got. I probably wouldn't go to his house because he got a farm up there. Amen. You got to work. If I'm going to do something like that, I want to go where you don't have to work. Amen. Now, the thing that we've got to understand is that you have to go through the wilderness. It's not a matter of whether you like it, it's not a matter of whether you want it. Things happen. But with God, God things happen. But when you're in the wilderness, you're eating quail and manna, and Lord have mercy, after all those leeks that you ate and all that garbage you ate down in Egypt, woo, it's heaven on high. But how many of you know that people get tired? I'm watching people right now. There's not a church I know that's not having major moves of the Holy Ghost in their spirit, in their church, in their. I mean, heaven comes down and people are shouting and praising the Lord and magnifying God. And we've gotten so used to it now to we're having to pump them more and prime them more and sing to them, oh, come on, lift your hand. Oh, come on, lift your hand. Come on, say praise the Lord. Amen. Ooh, that got a quiet. Didn't get a single amen out of that from nobody. Hello. You ladies, bless your heart, ain't never got nothing to wear. Closet can be full of new clothes that you just bought last month, but they're old now. That's old stuff. All right. Boy, I'm not getting much reception on that. A land possessed without a people conquered is nothing but trouble. Ask England in relation to Ireland. Ask America in relation to Iraq. It's nothing but problem. For God to possess you and save you without conquering your self-will is nothing but problems to God. Hello? All you want to do is do things your way. Listen, giving is more than just receiving blessings back. It's warfare. It's where you look the devil in the eye and say, I'm fighting you for my next blessing and financially. I'm fighting you for my finances. I'm going to give, bless God. That's the only weapon I've got, and I'm going to use it in the name of Jesus. And it's more than blessing God, blessing you to give you back the things of this world, because they're temporary, not yours. Only lets you borrow them to enjoy for a little bit. Can you say amen? But our destiny is in another world. But as long until God gets your free. This is what happened to Israel. The minute Moses walks up on the mountain, what do? They make him an idol. Why? Because somebody thought that was a way to worship God. Hello? And as a result of it, they paid the penalty and the price for it. Why? Even after that, time and time again, he actually moved the tabernacle from their midst and moved it out away from them. because they were a stiff-necked people, wanted to serve God their way rather than the way God wanted them to. And I have to tell you that I enjoy myself well. I like the house I got. I like the car I got. Hello? I even like the egg I had this morning with the cheese omelet that I cooked. Hey, I can cook. Had to learn how when Gloria left 2 years ago, but I can do it. Can you say amen? Now, you, when you eat it, you might not think I can, but I think I can. I tell you right now, amen. And I like myself well, and it's hard for me to give it up. Somebody told me the other day, well, up in Michigan, they said, we're going to be going down to Florida, right down 65. We're going to stop and see you in Alabama. Well, this is in Illinois, in Chicago instead of Michigan. And I said, well, you better phone ahead and make sure I'm home. You mean you ain't going to stay home and wait for me to get there? I don't think so. Can you say amen? Now, just because you want to come see me, what makes you think I want you to come see me? Say, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. But I can put a smile on and shake your hand. And when you tell me you're coming by, better call me first, brother. And then you walk and say, Lord, I hope they don't stop. I got so many things to do. I can't afford any interruptions. It was a lot simpler when I was a kid and people rode by in the car, blow the horn, and get out and sit on the apple tree with you for a while. That was a little bit different than it is now. On the go and on the move all the time. But God's got to get yourself. Well, how's he going to do that? The same way your daddy done it. The same way your mama done it. If he has to, a hickory stick. Now, he likes to think that you'll obey him without the hickory. Hello? He gave you an unction inside to talk to you. He gave you his word to talk to you. He gave the preacher to talk to you. He'll even have the prophet come by and read your mail for you and tell you. And if that self-will remains there, he'll pick up a hickory stick, usually a two before, and bat you upside the head with it. I don't know why I'm going through this. I do. You hadn't paid a tithe in 5 years. You wouldn't give over a nickel if you had it in the offering. And what do you expect to happen with your finances? Praise the Lord. I want to know more of the Bible. Have you read it lately? No. Oh, Teresa, don't smile when I look at you, girl. Amen. And there's my self-will. I want what I want, but I don't want to sacrifice my self-will to do it. I've got several people that call me now when their lives have changed and they're by themselves, and they call me because they want to talk to somebody they hadn't got nobody else to talk to. Well, what they don't realize is I don't have time to talk to them. Oh, Scotty gritted like I don't know what. A pastor knows all about this, don't they, Scotty? Amen? And then they get mad when I tell them, you've got to create a new life for yourself. The old one is gone. It's ended. It'll never be that way again. You've got to create a new life for yourself. So get up and do something about it. Amen? When the promises of God come to you and he reveals them to you, you've got to create a new identity, a new life for yourself that includes that promise. Once he reveals it to me, I can no longer get away with saying I don't believe that. That's what little children do, don't they? I'm going to spank you. They don't believe it. They just keep doing what they're doing. Second time. Hello. Now, it's the same way with us. When God reveals a promised land to you, you've got to change your life. And then nobody enjoys doing that. Gloria could cook fried potatoes, cornbread, and onion and milk better than anybody I ever seen. But now that she's gone, I hadn't had none in a while, and I decided If she could do it, I can do it. I done it. Bacon grease. Poured it in there. Poured them in there. That ain't good for your heart. Hello.
Same.
I don't care. It's the way I like my taters. Amen. So then I decided I wanted some biscuits. So I used her formula, and I made me up a batch. And being the person I am and always in a hurry with everything, I decided, why in the world should I cook them in an oven when I can cut my time down by 3/4 and do it in a microwave? I take it you ladies have never tried cooking biscuits in a microwave. Well, y'all laughed. I figured some of you had. Needless to say, you could knock holes in the plaster with them. They were so hard. So I had to learn better. Amen. Take on a new identity. Got to do it the way it's supposed to be done. It don't work like it's going. That's the way it is when God gives us a promise. You take on a new identity. You've got to do it His way, or it don't work the way it says. So now they're tired of eating quail and manna every day. They're griping and growling. They're tired of the wilderness, so they go get them a new God and set it up and suffer the consequences of it. How many right now in the kingdom of God, we're praying they're in the problems of God, of what has happened to them because of their relationship with what COVID is supposed to be? They chose a new God and served it. Yes, I understand, and I'm not saying they're wrong or right. I'm just telling you my observation from afar. But there comes a time. I remember when I had to lean on the pulpit and grunt to preach because of the lupus. I couldn't stand for nobody to touch me like that. But I knew one thing. I knew if I gave into that thing, that's the way it would be forever in my life. And, brother, I decided I'd rather not be alive and not be able to serve God the way He called me to. And so you rise up and say, this is what I am. This skies have been ripped off, and I found out I've got to fight. I've got to take on a new identity. I've got to become the soldier that God wants me to. Oh, that Hebrews list of faith, Samson and all the others, amen. Oh, God. Oh, today we need soldiers of the cross that'll have the testimony to go with it in the name of Jesus. In order to survive the wilderness, there's some things you need to know. Only God knows the way through the wilderness. It's your self-will He's after. And the reason you're in that will is because of your self-will. So how in the world is your self-will going to know the way out of it? Once again, she mentioned going down to the banks, things of that nature. Everybody has to serve it. But isn't it interesting that we've lived in the, I don't know about you, but I was talking to a young man not long ago, and he was about 32 years old, and he'd gotten saved and been saved about a year, okay? And he and I were talking, and he was talking about something he was going through and how he was dealing with it. And I told him, I said, son, you got to remember one thing. I said, you've had 31 years of dealing with things in the natural, and now you've had a year of dealing with them spiritually. I said, your tendency is going to be 30-1 to go back to take and handle it the way you always have. When God's over here saying, but you're in my promised land now, if you'll do this, I'll bring you the abundant life that'll keep you out of this situation. It's amen. And it all develops around the self-will. We get sidetracked on things. Amen. Our government right now sidetracked on money. Dear God, why don't they take a cut in their pay? They want me to send my milk money up there and pay taxes on it. Why don't they cut a pay on some of them yachts and airplanes? Oh, well, I'm not going to get into Teresa's teaching. Let her pick it up next Sunday and go on with it. Hallelujah. The thing about it is only God can show you how to take that promise and make it yours. Amen? Okay, He does. Believe. Obey. Submit. Okay? That's all fine and dandy. How many of you guys has ever been delivered of your temper? How many times? About 1,000? Preacher preaching with me back there now, amen. Every church, every life, every family has a relationship with at least one little boy, redheaded, about that high, that specializes in making life miserable. Yours is all black, so hang on. And they know them. I've got three of them now, two girls and a boy, just as redheaded as they can be. The grandkids, amen. And so you go to church, pastor gets up and preaches on temper deliverance. Oh, buddy, that's me. You go up to the altar, they lay hands on you, you jump about that high, run around the church two or three times, holler, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Everybody in the church hollering, glory to God, maybe we can get along with him now. Hallelujah. On the way home, you tell your spouse how, thank God I'm free. I'm thank God. They say, thank God. Hallelujah. I saw that smile. And so all of a sudden, you pull up in your front yard and you look, and there's a little red-headed boy about that high standing right in the middle of your flower garden. And you know what he's doing? Stomping your flower. If I told him one time, I've told him, get out of that, boy! Look like his mama could keep him home and out of my flower bed. That night, you're right back at church. Pray for me, Brother Scotty. What's the problem, Brother Ron? Temper. Brother, I thought you got delivered of it this morning. I thought I did, too. Hello? And then everybody really starts praying for you, you know? Something, what is that? Something about seven times worse? I'll not quote that scripture, but I'll let that go, okay? So everybody really praying for you now. But you thought you were free, but what happened? God jerked the disguise off of you. You got the smile, you got the joy, and you got, oh, praise God, it's good to be free. It's good to be free. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden the disguise comes off and you see yourself. God, help me be what you would have me to be. Take this willing vessel, Lord, and make it just like you. Say amen. The Holy Ghost knows how to get rid of our disguises, that's for sure. Okay. In the wilderness, you'll find it's a lonely place. People that have been through that thing don't want back in there with you. If you think they're going to come in there hunting you, you're crazy. At least from my point of view. Pastors are different characters, can you say amen? They'll walk in most anywhere and get you out of there if they can. And nobody wants to listen to you. In a storm, everybody goes through them. You can always tell who is living in the wind and the waves and who's fighting the storm by what they're saying and the way they're talking. I can also do this. I can just about determine what the next 6 months of your life is going to be when I look back at the last 6 months of your life. Habits we develop, unless God intervenes. Can you say amen? So I'm not going to have a thief hold my $50 or my $10 till next week. But chances are he's going to leave with it, okay? When people live in the wave and the winds, that's all they want to talk about, how rough it is, how hard the wind is. Listen, it's rough on all of us, church. And now guess what? You're in a wilderness. Who put you there? That's the economy. Gas costs too much. Can't come to church. Who do you think's responsible for all of that? The old devil. So rebuke him, Brother Day. Hello? It might be you sitting on television watching television all day playing video games instead of getting up and going to work. Can you say amen? My salespeople, when I had about 8 or 10 preachers, and we would go on sales crews, go into a city, and I'd rent the motel rooms, and we'd have our sales crew there. And bless your heart, the hardest thing I had ever got to them was convincing them that a penny a day is better than no penny a day unless it costs you 2 pennies to get it. And that was my philosophy. Did you say amen? Those guys would go out in the morning and make a good a morning's work out of it and be blessed, and then come back in the motel want to lay up all the rest of the day. I said, you better get out there and get it while you can, while the getting's good. Can you say amen? People just don't understand that, amen. So what is it? Don't expect somebody to come in there and feel sorry for you. Well, I'm going through something. Who's not? I had a guy tell me one time he had just gotten saved, delivered from drugs, and I'd preach. We were standing at revival. It was after church. I'd preached that night. We were standing, and it was a church parking lot. I mean, the old red church. Y'all know what the red church is out there. And so we were standing there, and it had been raining, and we were all standing there talking. And I made a statement, and he got upset about it, and he turned and looked at me and said, "If you just knew where God brought me from." Well, I get tired of hearing that. Hello? I looked at him. I said, "I know exactly where he brought you from, because he brought me out of the same cesspool you was in. I was just in a little different corner." He looked at me, and all of a sudden the Lord said, "Lay your hand on him." I touched him on the head. He was in a white shirt. We laid him out there right in the middle of that mud hole, in a mud edge of a mud hole, that red mud all over that shirt. When he got up in there, he didn't have nothing much to say after that. Amen. It's not where God brought you from. It's where you're going. Are we going to sit in the same place? Y'all, sit in the same place every time I've been here. Did he say amen? Are we going to sit in the same place spiritually? No. What do you come for? I come to learn something this morning. I learned something from Sister Teresa's teaching this morning. I learned something from Brother Scotty's exhortation a little while ago. Can you say amen? And now I'm a better man when I walk out of here. Now comes. You see, I'm feeling good for myself because I've learned something. I can be better in God. And then I walk out and old self-will takes over and don't want to pray all night to get it. Don't want to be faithful to get it. And then the disguise has to come off. And say, "You're not what you thought you were. I'm still working on you to make me what I ought to be." Then your little children sing. Amen. But don't expect somebody to come by feeling sorry for you, okay? The wilderness is not a pleasant trip. I've never been in it. It was a pleasant trip. When I am going through something, Gloria learned a long time ago, and most everybody around me knows, that when I'm going through something, you just leave me alone, stay out of my way, because I'm miserable and I manage to make everybody else miserable with me. Amen, somebody. You can tell me that. Say, "Well, come here, brother. I want to minister to you." Okay, I'll listen to you. And you can even tell me the answer. But until God puts it right in here, until I see me, it's not settled in my heart. Amen. And brother, I am subject. I asked Glory one time, I said, "Am I being ornery?" She said, "You sure are." I said, "I wish you'd get on through this." Amen. I said, "Okay, babe, just stay with me here." Amen. Now, the thing about it is, it changes you. The process of change is hard in us. We want it the way it's always been. But now God has said, "Come. You can take and spend your life working the works of Egypt back and forth and doing what Egypt wants you to tell and doing what Egypt wants you to do and stomping out the clay and serving the gods of Egypt. Or you can move into this promise that I've landed, I've given you, and I will supply your needs." You say amen? And it's up to you, okay? The wilderness will either make you bitter or make you better. Anybody in here been hurt in church? How many times? "Well, I see you still in church." Hello? When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Gloria and I were the first white people in Raglan, Alabama, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 1,500 people, and I was kin to 1,499 and a half of them. And bless your heart, family loves to run your business for you, don't they? They love to tell you what's right and what's wrong and what you ought to do and what you should do. Amen. And I made up my mind right quick. And here I had this Holy Ghost, and I was of the devil and everything else. Amen. They would twist everything I'd say. And I made up my mind one thing. I didn't come to back up. I didn't come to give up. And I didn't come to run. And I didn't come to surrender. So deal with it. Did he say amen? And once you, somebody asked me, they said, Brother Dave, said, when are you defeated in this kingdom? I said, when you surrender. When you surrender, you've had it. But as long as there's resistance in there, it might be just a little bitty tad, a little twinkle in the eye every once in a while. But as long as it's there, you can come out of there victorious in the name of Jesus. It's only when you quit and give up that God, that you're defeated, okay? And many people get bitter. I'm hearing more and more people blaming things on God now. Amen. I'm out of church because of what God did. No, you're not. You're out of church because you're in the wilderness, wouldn't submit your self-will, started griping about eating quail and manna, and want to go back to the leeks in Egypt, and you done it. Now you're reaping what you sowed and blaming God for it. Praise the Lord, somebody. The thing that happens in the wilderness that cannot happen anywhere else in your life is the plans of the tabernacle are given. It wasn't given in the promised land. It wasn't given in Egypt. It was given in the wilderness. They're going in as slaves. But what God is looking for going into his promised land is tabernacles that he could come and dwell in and live in and flow through at his discretion and at his will. God is trying to make tabernacles out of us. We sing that little song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Amen. A sanctuary, a tabernacle. A tabernacle is where Aaron went in and was able to see how to administer the holy, holy things of God Almighty. The Levites couldn't go in there. The people couldn't go in there. Only the high priest could go in there. And because of the lampstand, he was able to see how to do the works of God. I'm winding down here now, okay? The thing about it is, if you quit the tabernacle, now, they come up to Canaan's land, don't they? They've been looking at it for 40 years, hadn't they? Every time a wind blows, they were on the west side of Jordan. It's on the east side. And the Canaan land was on the west side. And so they come up, and the wind is blowing out of the west, and they can smell all that wheat, all that barley that's ripening in the sun, and they think of all these barley cakes and good wheat bread. Tortillas, hello. Friolis, amen. And boy, they marched out and they still eat the quail and manna. I come through the house. I told Gloria, I said, do you know how to cook fried potatoes and cornbread? She said, I do. I said, well, I wish you'd cook me some. I said, I think, Elias, it's been about 15 years since you cooked any. The next 7 days in a row, I ate fried potatoes, cornbread, onion, and milk, which is my favorite. After about 7 days of that, I come through and I looked at her. I said, do you know how to cook anything other than fried potatoes and cornbread? She said, I do. I said, well, cook some. She said, well, I thought I'd fill you up with potatoes. I said, you have. Time to go on to something else. Folks, when God gives you the promise, it's time to leave the old behind and go on to something else in the name of Jesus. A different testimony. It's not giving up the old. It's standing and making a foundation out of the fold, the old, and moving on into the new in the name of Jesus. Okay? I'm trying to hurry here and wind this thing up, okay? Now, we could talk about the tabernacle and all the instruments in there, but I'm going to bypass that, okay? Now, all of a sudden, they're coming out of the wilderness. Okay? Now, the question is, who is coming out of the wilderness? The writer didn't recognize. They're still wearing the same clothes, got on the same shoes. Hello? The same, well, they're minus Moses, but the same bunch is coming out that went in there. Okay? But the writer doesn't know who they are. Who are they? They're coming out of there. Ah, but there's something different about them. They're perfumed. They're myrrhed. They're not slaves anymore. They're tabernacles of God coming out of there. And then he asked, who is this coming from the wilderness? Not only do they come out, they leave it behind and move on in God to what the destiny that God has for them. Too many want to run back and forth to the altar nowadays. Dear God, when God sets you free, hang on to it, tooth and nail, for everything you're worth. Be willing to pay the price if necessary, whatever it takes to get the job done. I'm going to give my tithes. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray, magnify God, whether anybody else does in the world or not. And God will bring you up from that wilderness, and you can look back on it. And you can look back on it, and it'll not be a part of your life. It'll be something that's interesting to your life. How many of you can look back this morning on things that used to just tear you up when the trial would come or the wilderness would come, and now it doesn't even bother you? Amen? I know when we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like I said, I was kidding everybody bragging about it. And they began telling lies. I was wanting everybody to have that tongue-talking stuff. And so I wasn't quiet, but I didn't exaggerate either. And so they got to criticizing and talking and telling lies on me and whatever. And if there's one thing I've always tried to hold up and withhold up, and that's my reputation. And as a result of it, they got where in Ragland I could walk into any bank down there and on my signature borrow any amount of money I wanted. It was just that way. And now they're talking, and boy, my reputation is going down and affecting people and affecting things. And I told the Lord, I said, one night, I said, I quit. I was disgusted. I was aggravated. I quit. I sat out in the recliner. I popped the television on, and I intended to watch it till I got so bug-eyed God couldn't talk to me. I'd go to sleep when I went to bed. Jeff, our youngest, was about that high. Our oldest was about that high. He come running up to me, and he said, on his way to kiss me goodnight going to bed. And I looked at him. I said, say your prayers before you go to bed, son. And I never intended to say that. And at that moment in time, I realized something, Brother Scotty. I realized that I could no more cut God out of my life than I could quit breathing. And from that day to this, I've never looked back. If you got a problem with it, that's your problem, not mine. Can you say amen? I know what he done for me. You can philosophize it. You can take and go through the psychiatrist. You can go through the mythology. You can go through it all. But I was there when it happened, and I know what he done for me. Amen? Now, our modern day is an attack on the Bible to change it, to reword it, to reinterpret it, okay, and everything else. We're told that we're crazy for believing like we buy it. The only way we do it is because of that Bible, and they're changing it. They're accepting anything into the pulpits. Now, let me tell you something. There are different degrees of holiness, okay? First of all is the outer court, which is here. Anybody can walk in here and sit down to be in church with us. It don't matter whether they're beggar, rich man, thief or what. Okay? But when Travis and them take this thing up here, only the Levites could walk behind that curtain. They had to live a better life than what these did. So if somebody's going to lead me in praise and worship, I want them living a better life than what I live. And then when Brother Scotty takes that pulpit, that's entering into the Holy of Holies. And he had to live a better life than the Levites did. I'm not interested in some homosexual. I'm not interested in some lesbian getting up and telling me how to serve God. Can you say amen? Now that's rough to handle. And when I know somebody's not living the life, out of courtesy, because of friendship maybe, I may sit there and listen to them, but you better know I'm picking the bones out and throwing them out, and if there's anything in there, good. You know, how many of y'all have learned that even the devil has a good word for us every once in a while? It's a lie, but he's got a word for you, you know. He told Jesus that I'll give you everything. That's a good word. You say amen? But look what it would cost us today in the Master. So what am I saying through all this? It's not enough just to come out of the wilderness. Let's come from the wilderness and look back on it and say, you're not going to have to pray for me that anymore, brother. I've struggled for it for 6 months, and you've prayed, and I appreciate my pastor, and I appreciate you as my pastor, and I love you for it. And the nights I've had to call you, reaching out for help, but now I'm out of it, and I am leaving it behind. I am not going to entertain that spirit anymore. I'm not going to listen to that, man. It's not going to fill my imagination, and I am through with it. And watch him do a little victory dance with you. You say amen, somebody? Do you love the Lord? The heads are bowed. Father,